Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one, it was on this very day, back in which year, that Columbia Records publicly unveiled its new long-playing phonograph record, the 33 and a third, in New York City. Was that A, 1898, B, 1919, C, 1930, or D, 1948? The 33 and a third LP record, what year was that anyway? And question number two, the Monterey Pop Festival was held on this very day in California in 1967. Which famous rock group made its debut performance at this festival? Was that A, the Jackson 5, B, the Jimi Hendrix Experience, was it C, the Ames Brothers, or was it D, Red Hot Chili Peppers? 1967 Monterey Pop Festival. Debut performance? Who was that anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of June the 17th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1882, that Russian composer Igor Fedorovich Stravinsky was born. Stravinsky was known for such compositions as The Firebird and The Rite of Spring, which famously caused a riot at its premiere in Paris. Stravinsky, born today, 1882. And it was 34 years ago today, 1988, that over 3,000 East Germans gathered at the Berlin Wall to hear Michael Jackson. Jackson was performing a concert on the other side of the wall in West Berlin. Michael Jackson concert at the Berlin Wall today in 1988. And in country folk and Appalachian music news, we have this article titled, Appalachian Culture Lives On Through Music, Ballads, and Storytelling. This is written by Becky Johnson, published in The Mountaineer, Waynesville, North Carolina, on June the 6th, 2022. A performance featuring traditional Appalachian ballads, stories, and music was held at the Folkmoot Center as part of the Mountain Memories performance series on Saturday, June the 10th. Renowned Appalachian musicians Sheila, Kay Adams, and William Ritter performed a tribute show to the legendary folklorist Bobby McMillan. Robert Lynn Bobby McMillan, December 20, 1951, died on November 28, 2021. He was an original American traditional ballad singer, musician, and storyteller living in Lenoir, North Carolina. He was a recipient of the North Carolina Heritage Award in 2000. Sheila K. Adams is a nationally acclaimed award-winning author, singer, songwriter, clawhammer banjo player, guitarist and storyteller. She has received multiple heritage and folklore awards in recognition of her valuable contributions to North Carolina folk traditions. William Ritter is an award-winning historian, author, folklorist, singer, songwriter, and can play most any stringed instrument and play it well. He has devoted a good part of his adult life to documenting the contributions of old-time Appalachian musicians and ballad singers, many of whom, such as Bobby McMillan, were his mentors. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled, Donbass Music School Destroyed by Russian Shelling in Eastern Ukraine. Rebuilt in 2016 with help from the Japanese government, the Music Education Center is now nothing more than rubble. This is published in ClassicFM.com on the 25th of May, 2022. Early in the hours of Saturday, 21 May, Russian shelling destroyed a music school in the eastern Ukrainian village of Sviatohersk. Pavlo Kirilenko, head of the Donetsk Regional Military Administration, reported the attack on Twitter, saying, "The Russians have turned the school into ruins." 6 years ago, the Japanese government helped to renovate the music school, which had again been damaged by the ongoing Donbass War. Their help was part of the Support to Community Stabilization in Donbass project, a $13.64 million initiative implemented to aid people and communities affected by the conflict in eastern Ukraine. Kirilenko thanked the Japanese government's previous support in his tweet, saying, "I am grateful to the people of Japan and to all our allies who have helped rebuild Donetsk for years. Let's rebuild again now." Demi Lovato's Let It Go from the fantasy film Frozen introduces our musical news. It's entitled The Trembling Is Real. How does it feel to sing a musical showstopper? This is written by Miriam Gillinson on the 11th of May, 2022 in TheGuardian.com. From Elsa letting it go in Frozen to Sally Bowles belting out Cabaret, the performers of the most barnstorming numbers in musicals share the thrill of bringing the house down. Singer Samantha Barks says, "Let It Go" from Frozen, "I've never experienced anything like it my whole career. It's all there in the lyrics when I sing this song, especially at a really big performance of Frozen, such as the Royal Variety. I feel something similar to Elsa, her expectation and her anxiety. The lyrics are written so beautifully that you shed a layer with every Let It Go. Each time a different kind of anxiety is released. What will people think of me? It doesn't matter. Let it go. What if I unleash my powers? It doesn't matter. Let it go. On opening night, I took my glove off at the beginning of the song and saw that my hand was shaking. In that moment, I force myself to let go of my fear. As the song continues, you feel freer and freer. I've never experienced anything like it in my whole career. A lot of Elsa's journey is about her mental health and trying to keep it in check. Conceal, don't feel, she mentions it over and over again. Let it go is all about forgiving yourself. You don't have to be restrained anymore. You don't have to judge yourself or beat yourself up. Stop trying to hide or change. You are amazing. That's the beautiful message of this song. And then there's...
What good is sitting alone in your room? Come hear the music play. Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret.
It's like going down one of those flumes at the Leisure Center, sung by Amy Lennox. This song starts in a really raw place. Sally, pregnant, has just had this huge row with Cliff. She runs into her dressing room and is then suddenly called onto the stage. She's completely wasted. Everything is bubbling away in her head. The beginning of the song is rough. She's really just crawling through it. She has probably already decided about her baby, and the song solidifies those feelings. The way it ends, in our production, it's like Sally is being sucked down into hell. She fails and falls through the stage. It's a bit like going down one of those flumes at the Leisure Center. You're just spat out the other side. It's hard not to be affected by the song, to shake it off at the end and not be Sally anymore. But there's also something about cathartic about it. I let go when I sing. It feels incredible, visceral, like a punch in the gut. When I come off, I descend through the stage on this strange little lift. I'm trembling, and the trembling is real. I like to think the audience is feeling what Sally is feeling. It'll shake them up. When I sing, life is a cabaret, old chum. Only a cabaret, old chum, and I love a cabaret. I really land on that word, love. This is my moment. I own this song. I don't care if I'm going to die. I don't care what happens to me. Whatever I have chosen, this is my hell. That's what Sally is saying. And I hope that ricochets through the audience. When she sings that last note, it's pure pain, suffering, desperation, defiance.
Cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret. And as for me, I made my mind up back in Chelsea when I go.
And then there's the song Footloose. If the audience isn't dancing, I haven't done my job, sung by Josh Hawkins. Deep down, everyone in the audience responds to this song in the same way. It's about not caring about anything else, just cutting loose for 3 minutes. It really helps me to think about the song as if it's being performed at a gig. With these music shows, you have to realize that, as much as if it's a musical, it's also a concert. By the end, you want to have everyone boogieing away. The first performance of Footloose after COVID was brilliant. We'd been waiting to open the show in Zurich for over 2 years. There was such a sense of relief. The audience in Switzerland went crazy. We got a roar as soon as we began. That'll stick with me forever. A sense of coming together is what makes this song so special. That's why it's so important to get the audience dancing. So much has been going on over the last 2 years. A lot of people have forgotten how to enjoy themselves. This show is about everyone dancing together. If that doesn't happen, I feel like I haven't done my job. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled, "The Biological Process is Like a Symphony," says a PhD nutritionist and musician, written by Morgan Chamberlain, published in MindBodyGreen.com on the 9th of March, 2022. Methylation is a vital biochemical process that affects every cell in the body. It supports cardiovascular and cognitive function, energy and DNA production, detoxification, pathways, and more. However, 50% of the U.S. population has a gene variant that makes them more likely to experience suboptimal methylation at some point in their life. To help explain how methylation and the gene work, music lover and musician-pianist Ashley Jordan Ferrer, Ph.D., RDN, came up with a fun analogy that will help us understand the methylation cycle more comprehensively. Methylation is a beautiful symphony. A symphony is a long, complex musical composition that is meant to be played by an orchestra. Like methylation, symphonies are elaborate and involve many different skilled musicians that need to work synchronistically in tune and full out to play this beautiful piece of music as the composer intended it. The orchestra. A symphony orchestra is a large group of up to 100 musicians that make up different sections, each playing a different type of instrument, i.e. string, woodwind, brass, percussion. Imagine each section of the orchestra plays a different part of the folate and methionine cycles and ultimately produces methylation. While each musician and section has specific notes and rhythms to play and a unique sound and timbre to create, they all work together to holistically create a lovely piece of music, explains Faria. That's our symphony, a.k.a. methylation.
Will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo, Galileo Figaro,
Magnifico.
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from this monstrosity.
Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody introduces our rock music news. It's entitled Inspiring Classical Music Quotes from Rock Musicians, published in ClassicFM.com. You don't have to play a classical instrument to appreciate a great tune. Join us as we explore the best responses to the great composers and their music from the geniuses of the rock world. There's about 15 quotes that are included in the article. Here are five examples. Frank Zappa says, "Classical music is the music that was written by a bunch of dead people a long time ago." Jimmy Page says, "I'm pretty optimistic about the future of rock. It will be back to composition as in classical music or jazz." Jimi Hendrix said, "I dig Strauss and Wagner. Those cats are good." And Eddie Van Halen said, "I took classical piano lessons from the age of five." And how about Freddie Mercury of Queen? The group playing in the background now. He says, "We break a lot of rules. It's unheard of to combine opera with a rock theme, my dear." And therefore the song playing in the background now.
And They charted once or twice. They were on a major label. When the singer went solo, he left money on the table. The two main guys are related. They're at war with each other. Now there's two genes loving Jezebel. One for each brother, but the world came to agree. What you see is what you get.
The Mountain Goats introduce our local music news. It's entitled Top 20 North Carolina Music Festivals to Experience in 2022. This is published in JonesAroundTheWorld.com. That Music Festival, that's coming up on June 24th to the 25th, 2022, in Durham, North Carolina. Welcome to That Music Fest, presented by Come Here, H-E-A-R, North Carolina, a two-day music festival celebrating the artists who make music right here in North Carolina. Join us at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park on Friday, June the 24th, and Saturday, June 25th, for a stacked lineup that's credible music. You'll see 12 bands on the main stage, another 8 on the landing stage, and even more live music on the concourse stage. 20 bands on 3 stages under the stars at the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, featuring the Mountain Goats, an indie rock group with about a dozen albums published already, and Delta Ray, a folk artist rock. Go to thatstation.net for more details. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in which year that Columbia Records publicly unveiled its new long-playing phonograph record, the 33 and a third, in New York City. Was that A, 1898, B, 1919, C, 1930, or D, 1948? Correct answer, answer D, 1948. As noted in the June 15, 1986 ChicagoTribune.com article by Phil Bettel, through 1896, most recordings were made on cylinders. But that year, Emil Berliner introduced a new way to cut grooves into discs, resulting in a product that produced better sound than cylinder recordings. Those discs were played on a Berliner machine called a gramophone, which spun the records at 78 RPM. Selection of that speed was just happenstance. The inventor needed a motor to drive the record player, and he found one that turned the disc at 78 revolutions per minute. The 78 RPM records ruled the market for a long time, but the notion of a slower playing speed persisted, the obvious attraction being that more music would fit on a record that didn't spin so fast. The Columbia Microgroove LP was designed in 1948 to rumble along at 33 and a third RPM. RCA Victor responded with the 7-inch 45 RPM records the following year, and the struggle that followed is referred to as, quote-unquote, the Battle of the Speeds, and it went on for years. By the mid-1950s, 45 RPM had become the format for single records, and 33 and a third RPM got everything else. And by the way, 33 and a third records in good condition today will probably sell for anywhere from $15 to $20 average. Some genres, artists, and records are more valuable than others, however, and special edition signed or rare albums will even fetch up to several hundred dollars each. And the answer to our second question, the Monterey Pop Festival was held on this day in California in 1967. Which famous rock group made its debut performance at this festival? Was it A, the Jackson 5, B, the Jimi Hendrix Experience, C, the Ames Brothers, or D, the Red Hot Chili Peppers? Correct answer, answer B, the Jimi Hendrix Experience. As noted in thisdayinmusic.com, the Monterey Pop Festival was held on June 17 through 19 in 1967. Tickets cost $3.50 to $6.50 for the 3 days, and an estimated 200,000 people attended. All the proceeds went to charity when all of the artists, over 30 appeared, agreed to perform for free, and the Summer of Love was born. The festival is remembered for the first major American appearances by Jimi Hendrix and The Who, as well as the first major public performances of Janis Joplin. It was also the first major performance by Otis Redding in front of a predominantly white audience who performed a sensational set. Other major acts who appeared include The Byrds, Grateful Dead, Simon and Garfunkel, The Steve Miller Band, Canned Heat, The Mamas and the Papas, Jefferson Airplane, Moby Grape, Quicksilver Messenger Service, Booker T and the MGs, Buffalo Springfield, and The Electric Flag. Well, now, this being the day in 1988 that over 3,000 East Germans went to the Berlin Wall to hear Michael Jackson's music of hope and change, perhaps his message would also resonate in Putin's Russia today. This is Man in the Mirror. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.